Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll hear from artist and creative consultant and podcaster, Chrissy Tegerstrom. And y'all, this is the last episode for a while. We're taking a summer break, and we'll be back in the fall, don't worry. But we have lots of episodes you probably haven't heard yet. We, like, have a huge archive. You can find it on iTunes or Spotify or KUTX.org or wherever you get your podcasts. You can load up for that long car trip or plane ride or vacation or staycation and get all caught up so that when we return in the fall, you'll be ready for new stuff. And I'm going to spend my summer getting some other podcasts up and running here at KUTX, and I'll let you know about those when they happen. And hey, maybe you're looking for a new podcast, like something you can listen to now. Then might I recommend Beyond and Back, the podcast hosted by this episode's guest, Chrissy Tegerstrom. Chrissy is an artist. She has a studio called Featherweight Studio. She designs art by hand, and she makes clothing. Her pieces have been worn by people like Eddie Vedder and Shirley Manson. She's a creative consultant, and she's a podcaster. Last year, she released her podcast, Beyond and Back, where she talks to artists like Amy Mann and Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day about creativity and their creative process and, in her words, their connection to the unknown. She has these conversations that I personally want to hear, that I need to hear, because I'm always looking to get insight into the inner workings of people whose job it is to manifest ideas into reality. I know Chrissy through the Austin Lady Pods. It's a group of women who make podcasts and support each other here in Austin, Texas. And if you live here in town and you're a podcaster, you should look us up. Join us even. And when I met Chrissy, she hadn't yet released Beyond and Back. But now she's not only put out that podcast, but she's launching a second season. It comes out this Saturday, June 29th. I spoke to her this spring at the Tiny Texas Podcasting Festival here at the University of Texas, and she told me about her creative journey and about a song that she heard at the start of that journey that confirmed her idea that there was something beyond what we see.
So this song that I chose for the This Song podcast is Jeff Buckley's Mojo Pin, and I chose it because it's the first song on both his first studio-length album, Grace, and it's also the first song on his first EP, which was Live. And you can easily hear those two versions, but there's many versions of that song. That's what I chose. It transported me. I went inside that album and it was like a whole new realm. And I just was blown away. It's like, where am I? What is this thing? I'm in a whole new world that I didn't know existed. And I just wanted to keep being in that world. So I would play it over and over again. And I had loved music before then. I was a music fan, but this was something completely different. He was so himself, and it's hard to put it into context what was going on in 1994 with, he was in the format of a rock band. And he came out and was so sensitive and so dynamic and would go from the most lilting, angelic, beautiful note, and then he would end up in a scream 5 seconds later. And that may not seem that unusual now, but it was pretty unusual at that point. it was hard to choose a song because a lot of it was about the way he would perform. He didn't perform necessarily even to the audience. He wasn't trying to entertain necessarily. He was just, it was kind of this devotional way of singing. He talked about his influences. He talked about Nina Simone a lot. He talked about Qawwali music, which is Sufi mystical devotional music, where they were basically singing to spirit or God or some, you know, the creator or something bigger than ourselves. And he just took you somewhere. He went somewhere, he channeled, he transported you somewhere. And I've not heard that before or since. I think it was something that I longed for, that transporting moment. And I saw somebody doing it, and it kind of confirmed that that's a thing. And that's still something I look for, that transcendent moment, like what is just beyond what's right in front of your face. I love the mystery. I love the unknown. I love it when I feel something beyond the norm, and he took me there. Can I explain it? Not necessarily.
Where were you at that time? You're in college, you're 19 or so. And you're looking for something beyond what we have now. Were you doing art or music at the time?
No, I was not doing anything. I didn't think I was an artist. I was an English major. I ended up going into the music business. And actually what I told myself at that time was, I'm not an artist, so I'm going to work for other artists because art and music are so important to me. I want to support the people who are able to do it.
So at the time when you were listening to Jeff Buckley, he kind of confirmed that that kind of person and that experience existed in the world, but it wasn't something that you necessarily saw yourself reflected back when you listened to him.
Not at all.
But that changed at some point because we're sitting here and we're having this conversation and you are an artist and you make things and you create things from nothing and put them into the world. So I'm interested to know, when did that transition start to happen for you between I am someone who can support this kind of person in the world to I am this kind of person?
It happened over a period of time. I worked for a long time in music, and then I worked for a .com in San Francisco for a little while. And even that was working for creative people and founders and supporting them. And then I got really burned out and I quit my job, and I took some time off, and the strangest thing happened. I started getting pictures in my head of that just kept recurring in my head, and I was ignoring them. And eventually it was like this idea for t-shirt designs, which was the most random thing. I was not looking for that. I would say, I'm not a designer. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. Long story short, I kept trying to get it out of my head, move on, say, this is nothing. And I finally gave in and I said, okay, I can figure this out. Let me get these t-shirts printed up. And I got a guy in his garage to screen print some t-shirts. I chose the colors. And then because I had worked for a blogging company, I knew how to make a very simple website. And then I was in New York and I showed my best friend. I said, hey, look at these t-shirts I made. He went and showed his sister-in-law my website. And I got an email from Urban Outfitters ordering my very first t-shirt design. So,
wow.
Yeah. So here I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't say no. I just have to hustle up and figure out how to fulfill this order. And that's how Featherweight Clothing Co., Featherweight Studio started. And that was a pattern of, oh, here's this opportunity. I can't say no to it. Let me just try to figure it out and then I'll quit. And and then I would, something else would happen. Nothing as great as Urban Outfitters came again, but little things I couldn't say no to. And I didn't think I was a designer. I didn't think I was an artist. I thought this is a fluke, and I kept trying to quit, but then something else would come along and I would do it, and I was never able to quit.
But at some point you started to stop saying, oh, this is a fluke. I'm not really a designer. I am an artist. Do you remember, was there a point at which you kind of like took the leap and were able to say that to yourself?
Yeah, at first I called it Featherweight Clothing Co. And I thought I was just going to make t-shirts and have a clothing company. And I love to sew and I still love clothing. But a couple, maybe 2 or 3 years into it, my boyfriend, who's a musician, said to me, you're not a company, you're an artist. And it was like blasphemy when he said that. Like, there's no possible way I could be an artist. I like basically covered my ears and just thought he was crazy. But he's an artist, you know? And I mean, it really speaks to what how much your self-concept really influences what you do or what you allow yourself to do. And it still took me maybe another year to just say, I can say I am an artist and I'm not going to get struck by lightning and killed. You know, like I can just say this thing about myself and it's true. If I say it and I believe it, it's true.
And for you, what does it mean to be an artist versus say someone who owns a clothing company? Is the difference kind of, what's the difference?
I don't know if I've had to put that into words before. What's the difference in, I mean, if you call yourself an artist, you are an artist. There is no artist police coming around and saying, you're a fraud, which is funny because we all have the imposter syndrome. And when you said, at what point did you realize it wasn't a fluke? Is it? I mean, maybe it is all. It could all still be a fluke at any moment. I don't think, it's just hard to get there. You're never fully convinced of your footing in the world, I guess, for certain personality types like myself. But I just think if you love art and you want to participate, you're an artist. If it's a way of seeing the world and taking action and participating. And there's something about discovery and self-expression that I think is very, I think it's inherent to everybody. I mean, you look at little kids and they play, they dance, they sing, they make believe all the time. And every child does that. We were all children. So I think what happens to a lot of us is somebody comes by, whether they mean to do it or not, and they just clobber you. They will just say something flippantly, or maybe they're in a bad mood, and it could be I had teachers do it to me. It could be a teacher, a parent, somebody in authority will say something careless, and I call them dream killers because it'll just shut you down, and you'll say, well, I better grow up. That's not for me anymore. Or that person's an artist, and I'm not. Or my sister's the singer. I'm the accountant. You know, there's just, we take these pathways, and we deny ourselves the things that we really desire.
Well, and so you made this big transition, and that was, you transitioned to making things about 7 years ago, 2012. And then recently you made another transition, which is to go from someone who makes things, like physical things, to someone who makes things that people can hear, because you started a podcast called Beyond and Back. Well, first of all, I'd love to hear why you decided that you wanted to make a podcast.
Why did I start the podcast? I never thought I would do that in a million years. I always told myself I was a behind-the-scenes person. So, I mean, I want you guys to think about, or whoever's listening, think about the things we tell ourselves about ourselves. I said, I'm a behind-the-scenes person. I'm not an artist. And come to find out, those were not true when I really looked at them. And what guides me more and more is my meditation, my connection to the unknown, and when I pay attention to my heart's desire. And often my heart's desire, or my kind of my connection with my soul or my spirit, will tell me something that is really hard for me to believe in the moment. So maybe a year and a half ago, I started intuitively feeling that I needed to learn how to use my voice, because I was very scared to talk about the things that I care about. And I was very scared to speak up. And I thought, oh, this is the last thing I want to do. Like, I could just stay quiet and I could stay behind the scenes and no one will know and no one will care. And the world will, you know, the sun will come up, it will rise and set, and everybody will be fine if I stay quiet. But it was something that I felt I needed to do personally. And I knew enough to, even though I didn't, my personality, like me and the world, I thought, I don't know if I can do this. I just thought I have to follow it. I thought about my journey with Featherweight as an artist and seeing myself as an artist and seeing myself as someone who had this desire, but I struggled with it a lot and I was scared a lot and it brought up emotions. And I wanted to make a podcast of wisdom and things that I wish I would have known when I started. I don't know that there's a big window in what it's like when artists are going through the process or struggling through the process or coming up against it. What happens when you come up against an obstacle and how do you get over it? Or do you come up against obstacles? We hear about the people who might be millionaires or they sold 1 million records or they're famous and it seems like, oh, well, they just must be extraordinary and everything must come easily to them. You don't necessarily see what goes into it, what they had to overcome to get there. So I wanted to kind of open a window to that.
And one of the things, I love your podcast, and one of the episodes of your podcast that I really like is one that you just did yourself, where you sat down in front of a microphone and you were very vulnerable and you talked about a lot of things. You talked about how you had gone into the podcast wanting to have these conversations about how creativity, like the things that people had to overcome in their creative life. But you were finding that you were having conversations where people talked about their ease with creativity.
Yes.
Which I thought was a really great thing to say in a podcast. Like, hey, I went into this wanting this to be one thing and it's not kind of what I thought it would be.
With my podcast, I sit down and I talk to another creative person about their process. And so the first 7 episodes I did, I was kind of wondering, like, does anyone feel how I feel? Am I the only one feeling this way? And I thought that they would reflect back to me what I was feeling. And the first 7 episodes, they did not. I talked to people who grew up with parents who were artists, and they weren't conflicted about being an artist. They were just living their best art lives. And it was awesome, but I just didn't relate to that. And, but I just kept going and I did have amazing conversations and I learned a lot and I talked to different people. But by the 10th episode, just when I had let go of really wanting to see my experience reflected back by somebody else, I thought, you know what? There's so many ways to approach this. I can have my unique experience. I don't have to find someone to relate to exactly. And I let that go. And in the 10th episode, I talked to Billy Joe Armstrong, who's the singer and songwriter in Green Day. And he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's sold millions of records, hugely influential. And I related to him the most in ways that I didn't expect. And he talked about when he would try something new, he says it feels like you're walking out into the water and the water comes up to your chest and the water comes up to your chin and then the water comes up to your nose and you can hardly breathe. And then you can barely keep your head above the water. And he was describing this feeling of anxiety and fear when you're taking a new risk and trying something new. And I thought, I know that feeling exactly. And here's somebody who's done so much with their life creatively, and I relate to that person. And that was a really wonderful experience.
You said that the thing that you really loved about Jeff Buckley's music, about seeing him perform, was that he seemed connected to this thing beyond. Like he was able to channel it. He was able to, you know, access it. Do you think that your journey of coming into becoming an artist and then now finding your voice through podcasting, is that a journey of trying to tap into the same mystery of opening yourself up to that same kind of mysterious unknown?
Yes, Elizabeth McQueen.
Oh,
you're correct. I I love the mystery. I love the unknown. It can be really uncomfortable getting there, and it can bring up fear. And every time, you know, we're here to learn and experience and expand in this lifetime. And sometimes when we're trying to expand, we'll hit a boundary or a block, and it gets hard and it gets uncomfortable. And then we have two choices. We can contract back where it feels good and safe, or we can just keep going through that bad feeling. And sometimes it feels like terror. We know logically that everything's going to be fine, but getting up in front of a live audience or recording your voice for the first time or going on stage or telling somebody they hurt you. I mean, some of these risks that feel like too much, if we're willing, if we get a method to get through them, if we're willing to feel those feelings, then we get beyond our limits and we can move around in a wider space and have a broader experience. And that's kind of all I want to devote my life to. And if I can help other people do that, I've benefited so much from my own artistic process, and that's part of what gets me there. And it's not about how much money I've made or who knows who I am or success in that way. It's about being more comfortable in my own skin and having more, when you practice self-expression, you almost have more of yourself to share with people, you know, the real self. And that's kind of what I'm devoted to. If that shows up in a podcast or a jacket that I paint or a conversation that I have, that's kind of the goal.
And this is Mojo Pin by Jeff Buckley. And if you want to hear more from Chrissy, well, you can. You can go right now and listen to season one of Beyond and Back. And when you go there, you can also subscribe so that you can get season two delivered to you as soon as it comes out on June 29th. You can find a link to subscribe to her podcast on the show notes page for this episode at ktx.org. And you guys, I truly love this interview, and I think it's the perfect interview to end this season with. Because the thing that Chrissy wants to do, she wants to provide people with the tools she wishes she had when she was becoming an artist. Well, that's what I want to do with this podcast that you're listening to. I want you to hear people talk about love and music and creativity so that you'll be inspired to go out and be your beautiful creative self. For some people, that's easy. For many of us, it's not. Like, making things that didn't exist before, turning ideas into reality, making music or art, poetry, clothing, starting a business, like whatever it is. For most of us, the creative process can be befuddling or fraught with anxiety or like downright terrifying. But when we hear other people's stories, when we see things from the angles other people see them from, when we hear about the tools other people use, the lessons other people have learned, well, it can make that process slightly easier, slightly less terrifying. And that's what Chrissy's podcast does for me. And that's what I hope this podcast does for you. That's it. Until fall, y'all. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to Claire Hardwick for all her help. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.